Hello and welcome to the Kinetic Fitness Show, where we inspire you to live a longer, healthier, happy, and more joyful life. We cover everything you need to know to be optimally healthy in your mind, body, and spirit. Are you ready to become the ultimate version of yourself? Well, let's dive into another episode with your host and guide by your side, Allie West.
Hello and welcome to episode number 92 of the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast. Thank you so much for taking your time out of your day to join me on today's episode. If you don't know me, my name is Allie West and I'm the host of the show. And I welcome each and every one of you to this episode today. If you are a new listener, this is your first time listening, welcome to the show. If you are a returning listener or a regular listener, welcome back. Super grateful to have you all on board listening in. I have an amazing episode lined up for you today with a very, very inspirational guest. Somebody who I didn't really know a great deal about until we recorded this episode. However, we hit it off, we got on like a house on fire, we really connected, and we recorded an epic episode that's almost 90 minutes long. In this episode, you're going to get so much value, so much knowledge, so much expertise, so much wisdom from my guest that's going to help you primarily with your spiritual health and well-being. But before we do that, before I introduce her and share this episode with you, there's just a few announcements to make and a little bit of podcast housekeeping, you could say. The first thing that I would like to mention, or I'd love to mention, is that I've always done my very best to keep this podcast clear of adverts, clear of sponsorships, and grow the podcast organically. However, this podcast is at a point where we need to take it to the next level. We need to grow even more. Next year in 2021, the podcast will be 3 years old, which is crazy to say that, but it will be. And I need your support. As a listener, if you are a regular listener or a returning listener particularly, I need your support to grow the podcast, to put out more quality content, attract more guests, and really grow and inspire more people. With that in mind, you can support this podcast from a financial perspective really, really simply now, by clicking the link in the description of this podcast. Really simple. At the bottom of the show notes, you'll see a little link to support the show. And even if you can just pledge $1, just $1, that's going to help me to grow the podcast and inspire and help more people and keep bringing you amazing content. Really, really simple. Hit that link, pledge $1. If you can pledge more, I'll be forever grateful. And thank you so much for supporting the show. Next thing to mention is today's podcast is brought to you by Mudo Health. When I say brought to you by Mudo Health, they don't actually sponsor the show. I just want to point that out off the back of what I've just been saying. I am actually an ambassador for Mudo Health, which means that I help them to promote, market, and sell their product. Mudo Health is a DNA testing company, and I've had the test done with them, and it's absolutely incredible and so detailed. Really, really simple to do. You order your DNA testing kit from their website, it's shipped out to you. You take a saliva sample, send it back to their lab, where it's analyzed by their scientists and medical professionals. And then within 2 weeks, you will get a breakdown and a report of your DNA. They provide you with over 90 different reports, everything from your physical health, stress levels, supplementation protocols, nutrition protocols, exercise protocols, so much detail in there. Susceptibility to diseases, all sorts of different information, which in turn allows you to make changes to your health and well-being on the deepest level and get healthier. That's what it's all about. It's allowed me personally to really make tweaks and changes and take my health to the next level. So I want you to do the same. Simple to do. Just click the link in the description of this podcast. Go over to Mudo Health, order your DNA testing kit, and then at checkout, put in the code ALDNA. That's ALDNA, ALDNA, and then you will get 20% off your DNA testing kit. Go get it done so you can learn how to improve your health on that deep, deep level, which is your DNA. Never changes, you're born with it. A few more announcements, and then we will get cracking. Guess what's coming up? Black Friday. Yes. At the end of November, Black Friday. So with that in mind, I am giving away a discount on my online coaching program. This is a 12-week coaching program where we take you from where you are now to where you want to be. We cover nutrition, exercise, and mindset with a little bit of spirituality spliced in as well to help you with your health and well-being goals. It's all online, so you can be anywhere in the world and I can support you through our online coaching program. We are giving away a 50% discount till the end of November on our 12-week coaching program. So if you want to take advantage of this, you need to get on a call where we can discuss your goals in more detail and see if we're a good fit for each other. Really simple to do. Again, hit the link in the description, book your call, fill out the short application form, and then we'll jump on a Zoom call, discuss your health and fitness goals, and see if we can help you. And if we can, you'll get 50% off if you book before the end of November. Get it done. Let's help you. We can help you with your health and well-being. The only other things to mention really are the podcast is now on YouTube, so go and check that out. Again, the link's in the description where you can watch and listen to the videos. Also, we have a Facebook page, The Kinetic Fitness Show. Again, link in the description, hit that. And the final thing is, don't forget to like, follow, and subscribe. Leave a review and share this podcast with your friends, family, loved ones, colleagues. Best way to do that, social media. Grab a screenshot, tag me in it, Ali West Coach, and I will share it with all of my friends and followers as well. I think that's it. I rattled through that quite quickly. Hope you took it on board. If you just do one of those things that I just mentioned, it will help me out immensely. Let's get stuck into today's episode. My guest today is Belinda Davidson. Belinda is a best-selling author, international speaker, and spiritual support. For 15 years, Belinda worked as a professional medical intuitive, working closely with doctors and healthcare practitioners, and for over 20 years, she's worked as a spiritual coach and mentor. Belinda was born highly intuitive and very psychic, which she says was a curse in her childhood, but a wonderful gift later in life. Okay, what will you learn in this episode? In this episode, you will learn about Belinda's psychic gifts from birth and how she turned them from what she considered a curse to a blessing and used them to help others. You'll also learn about the chakras of the body, how to care for each of your chakras and improve your energy and health. You'll learn why meditation is key for your spiritual health and development. You'll also learn energy centers and energy fields and how we can tap into them for our health and well-being. You'll also learn how to find your life's purpose via your chakras, plus much, much more. So we really focus on the chakras and chakra health and chakra healing in this episode. If you don't know about chakras, don't worry, you're gonna learn. And this episode is gonna help you with your spiritual side, your spiritual nature, your spiritual well-being. But even if you're not really onto that spiritual path, you could say, or you're not spiritually inclined, do not worry. You will pick up so much value from this to help you with your health and well-being. Let's get straight to it. Let's get into this one. Episode number 92 of the Kinetic Fitness Show podcast with Belinda Davidson. Enjoy. Hi, Belinda. Thank you for joining me on the podcast today. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm great. I've heard you're having some hot weather over in Australia.
Yes, we've been in drought now for about 3 years. We desperately need some rain. So if you've got rain over there in the UK, would you like to send it our way? We would love it.
Yeah, sounds like you need it.
We do. Yes, my grass is brown. I just took a look at it before I jumped on to speak to you. And I thought, oh my goodness, if I could just get some rain, I need it to go green again. So please send it my way.
Fingers crossed. Well, I really appreciate you taking your time out to speak to me. I know you're very busy, so I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
I think the best way to start is to just fill the listeners in and maybe myself on who you are, what you do, how you help people, a little bit of your story, and then we'll go from there.
Well, what a question. Who we are. Isn't that like the thing we're trying to figure out for the rest of our lives? Wow, you led with a good one, didn't you? Here we are. Here I am. Okay. So I'm still figuring that out and will probably be figuring that out for the rest of my life. But to answer your question as best as I can, I was born psychic, but very, very, very psychic. So what I mean by that is that I was born being able to see into people and know all about what was wrong with them. I didn't know that that was unusual, though, when I was a small child. My father is a doctor, and in his surgery, I would see why they had come to see him. So at the age of about 2.5 and 3, my mum taught me to read and write very young. I would waddle up to his patients, waiting to see my father in the waiting room, wearing sometimes, because it's so hot here in Australia, only a nappy, and start to tell them all about what was wrong with them. And as you can imagine, they didn't like that very much. Mm. And I didn't know, though, at that young age, that people didn't know that whatever is happening inside someone's energy field or inside of them is happening in their lives. What I mean by that is, you've probably heard of the term energy field. I mean, of course you have, but I'm not quite sure if all of your listeners have. It's also referred to as an aura. So someone's aura is that light that is surrounding someone's person and physical being. And inside that light, I could see like tiny movies or flash images, everything about a person's life. I could see what was wrong with them in terms of their physical problems. I could see what they were sad about, what they were angry about, if they'd had a fight with their brother or sister or husband or wife. I could also see dead people, so people from the other side that were supporting them and around them. So inside a person, and I do mean that literally, I could see their whole external world. But as a small child, I didn't realize that other people couldn't see this too. And so when I was telling a person all about why they were there to see my father, and although I could speak quite fluently at 2.5 and 3 years old, I still was struggling to find words to explain certain maladies, certain illnesses or sicknesses or certain emotions. Adults found it very jarring. They found it very confronting, this small child, half naked except wearing a nappy, telling them all about what's wrong with them. And so because I got so much pushback from my father's patients in surgery, telling me to mind my own business and who do you think you are? Who told you those things about me? Have you seen that on my files? I realized very quickly then, oh, I shouldn't be saying these things. It did take me some time to realize, though, that other people couldn't see these things that I couldn't see, but I didn't understand quite at first why they were angry. But then I did quickly realize after that that it's not the right thing to do, because children want to be loved, don't they? They don't want to be rejected. So at about age 4, I would like to say, I stopped telling people what I saw about them. But I still didn't quite understand then that other people couldn't look inside people and know all about them. The reason I call myself very, very psychic is because with every passing year, my psychic abilities seem to amplify. What happened then was, not only could I see inside people and know all about them, but their sicknesses or their emotions and problems then started jumping out of their energy fields and into mine. So for example, if I sat next to someone on a bus and I could see and feel that they were extremely upset, the feeling of upset that I could perceive in their energy field would literally jump out of their energy field and into mine, and I would start crying. Not only that, I then started to see ghosts. I saw spirits as well. I could see angels as well. Now, let me just quickly explain the difference between ghosts, spirits, and angels in case people aren't clear about that. Ghosts are earthbound spirits. So they are people that haven't yet found the light after death. So when we die, when we leave our physical body behind and our soul goes back to the afterlife from where we've come when we reincarnated. Some people aren't able to find the light after death and they remain earthbound. They're ghosts. Then you've got spirits. They are people that find the light after death. And then you've got angels who aren't human, were never human, and exist in a completely other category. So I also started to see ghosts, and ghosts would come to me at nighttime to try to get me to help them. I didn't realize that when I was a child, but ghostly visitations started to happen. Then I would see spirits as well. I was seeing angels as well. So with every passing year, I was becoming more and more psychic, which is actually quite unusual. When I began later in my life, when I started to embrace my gifts instead of thinking of them as a curse, which they were growing up, most children's psychic ability or empathetic abilities or empath abilities or extrasensory abilities, however you want to speak to them, they seem to diminish. So when a child doesn't get nurturing around it, or when a child feels that it's not wanted, or if a child goes to their parent and says, well, there's a spirit in my room, and the parent says, oh, stop making it up, you're just making up silly stories, go back to bed, they start to shut down. So most children come in very open and intuitive and extrasensory, but due to society, culture, and how left brain we are, they begin to shut down. I don't know why with me it was the opposite. I just kept getting more and more psychic. It just seemed to amplify and grow and grow and grow. So I was not only dealing with seeing inside people and knowing all about them, which I couldn't shut off. I didn't know how to. I was also having their issues jump into my energy field, and I was experiencing myself physically and emotionally their problems. I was having ghostly visitations, or ghosts visit me. I was seeing spirits. I was seeing angels. I was also having experiences of finding myself at times in different, you could probably call it, I don't know the word for it, but maybe parallel space-time jumping or parallel universes. So I would have an experience of walking into a place and suddenly I was experiencing what it was like 40 years before. And then suddenly I would flash to what it would be like in 40 years' time. So there's something about me I think is extremely, maybe the word is transparent, extremely maybe malleable. I don't really know how to explain it. But as I got older and older, it didn't decrease. It just kept amplifying. And I would have some very unnerving experiences because nobody ever explained any of this to me. And I was brought up Christian. So anything in the Pentecostal faith that I was brought up in that wasn't to do with Jesus and the Holy Spirit was about being of the devil and demons. And so I had these insane psychic abilities. And when I say insane, I mean insanely strong. And so at age 10, because my abilities were so profound and there was paranormal activity in our household because of my abilities, I just attracted so much spirit activity. I was exorcised by a priest. Now, that really doesn't help out your self-esteem as a 10-year-old child to find out that you are possessed, which I wasn't, obviously. So I kept trying to shut down, but the more I shut down, the more it amplified. And so the reason that I say I was born psychic to psychic is because growing up, my gifts felt like a curse until the age of about 19. And this was a pivotal moment. I tried as much as I could when or after I was exorcised to shut it down. But who you are, you either accept or try to reject. And trying to reject that just doesn't work, does it? It just makes you unwell. It just makes your life not work, and it's self-destructive. But when I was 19, my deceased grandmother, it's my mother's mother, contacted me from the afterlife in spirit form. She wasn't a ghost, she was in spirit form. Now, just to give you some context, she was of the Salvation Army faith, and her whole family was of the Salvation Army faith. So speaking to me in this way was just not usual at all. So not something that was ever understood in the church, and all of her children were brought up in the Salvation Army church. So when she contacted me and gave me the messages that she gave me, so what she did is she contacted me and she said, "You really need to speak to your uncle. It's really important. Phone him now. I have messages to give him." My first reaction was, "No, I'm not going to speak to you because I'm afraid of who I am, because you asked me who I am and I'm answering your question about that." And then she segued into, "You must contact him now." So not only was I afraid of who I was and afraid of being psychic and wanting this whole thing to go away, secondly, I was working with a therapist at the time who told me that I was probably schizophrenic and hearing voices in my head, and that the best thing for me was to not listen to the voices. I don't know if you know the film A Beautiful Mind, starring Russell Crowe.
It's on my list. I've not seen it.
Okay.
I know of it, but I've not seen it.
Great. Well, I'm sure many of your listeners have seen it. And it is about a man who has, I think in the movie it is the condition schizophrenia, and he sees imaginary people and interacts with them. And actually, if you haven't seen the film, I think that was just a spoiler alert. So sorry, because I think I just spoiled the whole point of the movie. But anyway, and so I thought that I'm probably schizophrenic, don't listen to the voices. So the second reason that I rejected it. The third reason was I thought they're all into the Salvation Army. They're all going to think I'm crazy or a heretic or a pagan. I'm not going to contact my uncle. But when I said I'm not going to contact him, her voice boomed through and said, "You will contact him." And I did. He wanted to commit suicide on that day.
Wow.
And because of me being open to be able to hear her, my grandmother through me, not me, but my grandmother through me saved his life. And that was the first time I had the experience in those 19 years where I thought, wait, this has been such a curse for me, these awful psychic things, gifts. But maybe they're gifts.
Exactly.
Maybe I can flip this. And that's when I then started reading everything I possibly could about the esoteric, because all of that was banned in the Pentecostal faith. And that's how I started my path. And that was 22 years ago now.
Wow. Amazing. There's so many questions to ask off the back of that. And I love how you put it at the end, because I was thinking that the whole time you was talking, is that it's not a curse, it is a gift. And you've been gifted these amazing gifts from the highest power. And this is a thing that I believe that many, many people, if not everyone, are born with certain gifts or similar gifts to you or different gifts, different special powers. But as you said, society and programming, or however you want to label it, drills it out of children, because I think there's so many children walking around with amazing gifts that get dumbed down or suppressed. So you've managed to go on a crazy journey, but harness those gifts that you've been given to help yourself and ultimately help others as well, which is incredible.
Yeah, well, I definitely didn't see it like that growing up. I didn't have any role models. I didn't have any understanding of what any of it was. I think that was the most difficult thing. But then after the interaction with my grandmother and knowing that it saved my uncle's life, that's when I did my exploration into the woo-woo, into the esoteric, and started reading everything that I possibly could, and figured out through the work of the famous American medical intuitive, Caroline Mace, that I am actually a medical intuitive. So yes, I can speak to people from the other side and relay messages. That is very easy for me because I mean, look, I've been talking to dead people all of my life, and some of the best conversations I've had, the wittiest, funniest, most interesting, are with dead people. I mean, I'm never bored. If I'm looking for someone to talk to, there's a whole host of people that I can have conversations with. My life's never boring, and I often feel like I never get a moment to myself. But I tried different avenues. I tried fortune telling, which doesn't work because there is no future, is there? I tried tarot card reading, couldn't do it because it was confusing, because I just look inside someone and get the information. And then it was through discovering Caroline Mace and reading some of her books, I understood that where my natural talents lay were in looking inside people and being able to see what was wrong with them. And that's why I ended up working as a medical intuitive for many, many years. I worked together with doctors of medicine as well as healthcare practitioners, helping their patients as well as them get well. And I did that right up until about maybe 5 or 6 years ago. And then I stopped doing that and then really started working much more in a kind of sharing teaching modality. And then I wrote my book, Find Your Light, that came out in July this year. Oh, yeah, it was July. Everything's just a bit of a muddle with COVID, isn't it? Like, I can't even remember my months now. Sorry, excuse me. Was it July or August? No idea. I think it was July. It came out in July this year. And in my book, Find Your Light, I talk about my journey of my upbringing and my childhood and how difficult it was with my gifts, how I came to embrace them. And then I give case studies of all the hundreds, actually thousands of readings that I did as a medical intuitive to help people understand how they can start to get a sense of their own energy system, how they can tune into it, and how ultimately they can learn to work with their own chakra system to cleanse and balance their chakras. Because the chakras is what I've always seen ever since I was a little girl. So that light that I was talking about at the beginning, where I said we all have an inner light, a light that surrounds our physical body as well as our, like our energy body, which is often referred to as an aura. It's an energy field and an aura, that light. It's actually made up of a series of wheels of light called chakras, which I'm sure you are familiar with. Yep. Not quite sure if everyone listening is familiar with. And I always could see these spinning wheels of light. But of course, I didn't know they were called chakras. And so as I journeyed further along and did more and more readings for people, I started to more and more clearly perceive the chakras and realized, and actually this didn't come via studying the chakras in a traditional way. It came by looking at people's energy fields and looking at the chakras in people's energy fields. I could really see inside the chakras, and in the chakras, I could get incredible amounts of information about people. And so the chakras not only govern certain aspects of our life and our body and do amazing things, but they also give us amazing amounts of information about ourselves. And so the foundation of my life's work has become change your chakras and you can change your life. And that's why I talk so much about the chakras and how that's my, or how I add to health and well-being and self-care in this world. I talk a lot about chakric health and why it's so important.
Yeah, let's stick on that theme because I love this stuff and it fascinates me. So how would a listener or one go about assessing their chakras and what is chakra cleansing and how can they start to really take advantage of this powerful system that we all have within us and around us?
Well, it all begins with meditation, and everyone hates it when I say that.
Can I just, sorry to interrupt you, just say one thing that's just come into my head. I got into meditation and I got into maybe the spiritual realm through a chakra practice. So the Merkaba meditation, that's how I got into it. So I've been in the chakra stuff from the beginning. It was the very first meditation practice I did was a Merkaba
meditation, sending the energy up through the chakras, doing the mudras, and yeah, super powerful. I just wanted to add that in for the listeners.
Well, it's good you did, because that's not unusual. A lot of people start with yoga, and yoga is all based upon the chakra system. There's nothing new about this. The Hindu chakra system is thousands of years old. I didn't realize any of that until I started researching the chakra system. I mean, like I said before, I saw the chakras ever since I was a small child, and I derived my own information by looking inside people's energy fields. So I didn't learn the chakras or the chakra system in a traditional way, in that somebody else taught me about it. I learned by looking inside people and learning that way. But then when I went and read about chakras via other people's teaching, it completely matched everything that I saw myself. So that's not unusual. A lot of people say, oh, I started to get to know my chakras via yoga or via some type of meditation practice. I always say that the best meditations are working on your chakras. You probably just don't realize it. Mm. So when people ask me about which meditation is good, well, I will say the ones that are working on your chakras. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a chakra meditation per se, just any meditation that's creating mindfulness. Because when you're mindful, you're naturally igniting all of the centers of your chakras. Now, that's a bit tricky sometimes, because then people go, okay, Belinda, well, how do I know? Because I'm not psychic like you, and I can't see right now if all of my chakras are being ignited through this meditation. But you get a sense of it. Anything that connects you with a sense of your body is connecting you with your chakras, because the chakra points are located within the physical body. But I think I've dovetailed, or I think I've segued a bit back from the question that you asked me. So do you mind asking me what you asked me before? I think you asked me, how can people start to feel their chakras? And I said it started with meditation. Is that what I said?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, that was it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does start with meditation. So if I take a step back from that, it really starts with learning how to calm the mind. And I said, people hate it when I say that. And they hate it when I say that for two reasons. They hate it when I say that because they go, oh my goodness, that's nothing new. Everybody and his dog in the spiritual self-help wellness field nowadays says that. Well, there's a reason why we say that, because it's true. And secondly,
it works.
It works. Yeah, it works. It works. And secondly, you can't begin to feel your energy field or your chakras or any of this subtle energy form if you can't quieten your mind. If your mind is noisy and full of chatter, you can't begin to tune into the subtle energy realm. So that's how you begin. That's the very first step. The second step is then to commit to doing a practice, and I'm not going to say a daily practice because that's a stretch for a lot of people, but a regular practice of meditation. I don't mind what meditation. My personal preference is the chakra cleanse meditation. I created that in 2000 and was it 11? Actually, I created it earlier than that, but I brought it out as a digital product in 2012. And it's something that you can get on my website at belindadavidson.com, but it's also free in the transcript of my book, if you buy my book, Find Your Light. And that works directly on each of the seven chakras. And you don't have to do that every day. That's about a 45-minute meditation. But if that's too much for you, all you need to do is a 10-minute mindfulness meditation. There are so many wonderful mindfulness apps out there nowadays. Anything that brings you in awareness with your breath and feeling your physical body automatically ignites all of your chakra points. Because the location of your chakra points, and I'll go through them with you in a moment, are all located in your physical body. So where your base chakra is located And to get your base chakra working properly, all you have to do is bring your attention to your tailbone. Then, to get your sacral chakra working properly, which means to get the sacral chakra spinning and drawing in chi, so energy, all you have to do is bring your awareness to just below your navel. Then we move up to the solar plexus chakra. To get your solar plexus chakra working, all you have to do is bring your awareness to the area of your stomach, which is just below your rib cage. You don't have to visualize the chakra spinning. You don't have to visualize any color. All of that stuff really is just secondary and often just a distraction. What gets your chakras activated instantaneously, and we can do it together if you like, instantaneously, is by bringing your awareness simply to the point of where the chakra is located. Let's move up to the heart chakra. Bring your awareness to your heart center. You just hold your awareness there. Instantaneously, the heart begins to open and draws in energy. Then we bring the awareness to throat chakra, the area of where your throat is located. We hold our awareness there. Instantaneously, the chakra opens and chi, life force, energy flows in. Then we've got the third eye chakra located above and between the brows. Hold our awareness there. You can feel it. Feel that tiny prickling or perhaps warm sensation above and between your brows? That's your third eye chakra. It begins to just gently open simply by bringing your awareness there. You don't need, again, to visualize anything fancy. People think they need to visualize the chakras spinning clockwise and the color indigo and this happening and that. That's all bells and whistles. That really doesn't need to be there. I've trialed and tested this with numerous people. And now let's go to the crown chakra. The crown chakra sits at the very top of the head on the skull. We bring our awareness to the crown chakra. We hold our awareness there. All of these are physical points located in the physical body. And as soon as we do that, there's that warm feeling. Your crown chakra is being activated. And the moment you bring your awareness there, the crown chakra begins to open and energy flows in. So that, in a nutshell, is the chakra cleanse meditation. You don't need to go by my chakra cleanse meditation. I just showed you how to work with your chakras. But any type of meditation that brings your awareness to your body is always working on a chakra. Because any part of your body, if you visualize, for example, or bring your awareness to, let's just say your chin. Well, your chin is connected to your throat chakra. So the throat chakra is getting activated. If you bring your awareness to your feet and just breathe, connected to your feet, your base chakra is getting activated. If you bring your awareness to your rib cage, your heart chakra is getting activated. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you don't have to directly work on the chakras. Now, that's my preference because you are then directly working on the chakras, and I happen to think it's a powerful form of meditation. Although I do both a chakra cleanse every day and a mindfulness meditation. I like to do both, and I like to do both for different reasons. But even just bringing your awareness to your physical body, by doing that without having to think about activating your chakras, you are activating your chakras. And that's why mindfulness and meditation is so powerful.
Amazing. Excuse me. That word, awareness, that's the key word. I mean, it comes up all the time on this podcast. I might have to write a book about awareness because the amount of guests that have said awareness, and I said this on a podcast the other day, I was like, if I had a dollar or a pound for every time someone said awareness or self-awareness, I'd probably be a rich man, but it's so key. And another thing I want to point out and tag on to everything you said there about the chakras is a lot of people have certain issues, and let's take maybe the throat, for example, the throat chakra. People might have struggled communication and they don't realize that it could be a chakra issue, and they need to cleanse and clear that area, and then their communication skills will improve. And it goes the same for people with gut issues and their solar plexus or their reproductive area might be all jammed up. So people can start to make patterns, and when they become aware, they can start to realize, okay, maybe this chakra does need some work and does need some clearing out, so I can feel better and progress in the areas that I want to progress in. So I love all of that. It's amazing.
Absolutely. Yes. In my book, Find Your Light, I have a whole section about each one of the chakras and the problems that it corresponds with. So if you have a blockage in your throat chakra, these are the problems you will have in your life. If you have a problem with your heart chakra, it's most likely you will have these problems in your life. And it's just really an archive of all the thousands of readings that I did and all the problems that I saw with people that had major throat chakra blockages or major heart chakra blockages. Or take me for an example. I had, for most of my childhood, major digestive issues. My solar plexus chakra was my weakest chakra. And the solar plexus chakra not only looks after your digestion, but it also is your physical and psychic protection. So doesn't it make sense in my case? I didn't really have any psychic protection. I didn't have any boundaries. That's why I saw everything, but not only did I see everything, everything got into my energy field, literally. So when I started to understand about the chakra system, I worked very, very hard on my solar plexus chakra, and it radically changed my life. It healed my acute gastric ulcer. So I had such a bad gastric ulcer that my stomach was close to perforating. So I had a gastroscopy, and the surgeon said to me, this is the worst stomach ulcer I've ever seen in someone your age. And your stomach was close to collapsing. It was really bad. And I had all solar plexus chakra issues throughout my life. I couldn't say no to people. I couldn't stand up for myself. I had no center. But when I discovered the chakra system for myself by working with a lot of people and identified that my solar plexus chakra is my weakest chakra and still is my weakest chakra, although I'd like to think all of my chakras are quite strong because I do work on them and I do teach this stuff. So hopefully my chakras are quite good. But whenever I work on my chakras, I always give my solar plexus chakra extra love and attention, because we do have chakras that are naturally weaker, as you've said, and chakras that are naturally stronger. And as we are able to get more attuned to our own energy fields, we can sense which chakras are naturally stronger and weaker. But not only that, on a day-to-day basis, just say for an example, you've given an event the night before and you've overworked your throat chakra. You can then give it more energy when you do your chakra cleanse practice. Or just say you're going through a difficult time in a relationship and your heart chakra is having a hard time. Well, you can work more on your heart chakra. So that's why I say meditation is key, because you need to be able to tune in to your own energy field and give your chakras what they need. And all you need to do is bring your, and here's your favorite word, awareness to each one of the chakra points, and the rest is done for you. That's what's so brilliant about this system. It's so easy. All you have to do, and I'm repeating it because it's just so easy. People say to me, Belinda, it can't be that easy. And it honestly is. All you have to do to get your chakras to work properly is to bring your awareness to the point of each one of the chakras and hold it there. The rest is done for you. All you have to do is do what you and I just did before. And then the chakras open, the energy flows in, and they get cleansed and balanced and strengthened and healed. That's the beauty of this system. We are magnificently energetically designed. And it really, I believe, should be a part of everyone's self-care practice. We need to look after our energy systems just as much as we look after our physical bodies.
Definitely. It's funny you should say about the solar plexus, because that's the area I've been doing a lot of work on as well. That's what I feel is my weakest chakra as well. So it's interesting you should say that.
People that are very empathetic really struggle in that region.
How does like traumatic childbirth relate to that? Is that linked to the solar plexus, or is that a different chakra? Or do you not?
Do you mean if you had a traumatic childhood birthing experience?
Correct.
Or do you? Yeah. Yes, that can be a part of it too, because you didn't want to come into the world.
That's right. That's me.
There you go.
Yes.
And so what happens?
I've been doing a lot of work with the water as well. I mean, like water bathing, but meditating and focusing on chakras whilst I'm in the water. And I'm a Cancer. I'm a water baby as well. So when I've been doing that, it's been coming up a lot that the trauma of my birth, and because I'm in the water, I think it really highlights it as well. And I'm getting that messages or those downloads or however you want to describe it, to saying like, this is the area that needs working on. And I'm exactly the same as you. I suffered with like gut issues and all that kind of stuff. And as you say, a lot of the work I've done is like, okay, can I fix my diet? Can I do this? But the energy stuff is, as you said, equally, if not more important. And I'm seeing much more probably results and progress with the energy work into that kind of area. So yeah, that's, I wanted to point that out.
Well, what happens for people like us is when we have weak solar plexus chakras, because we're empathetic and we feel other people's pain, it's also because we are feeling our own wounds, and our wounds in that moment are meshing, or you can say sticking together with wounds of other people. I'll explain it like this. When our solar plexus chakras aren't working properly, and let me explain first what the solar plexus chakra does, just to give it context so that's clear. Your solar plexus chakra is the bodyguard of your entire energy field. So its job is to make sure that you're being looked after 24/7. So just think of like a big bodyguard or bouncer at a nightclub, you know, like the big burly dudes outside a nightclub. And their job is anyone that's causing a problem or anyone that's hitting on anyone inappropriately, they're out. That's the job of the solar plexus chakra. One of the jobs, it has other jobs as well. If your solar plexus chakra isn't working properly due to childhood trauma in any form, it doesn't know how to respond appropriately if you are in a situation in which your energy is being encroached upon. So just to say that super clear, it's not functioning healthily because it's not giving you the alert of, wait, hold up, this isn't good for you. Wait, hold up, you're in an energy exchange here or in a dynamic here that's robbing you of energy, depleting you of energy. Your energy is being drained or going in the wrong direction. So if we come into the world at the very start, knowing we don't want to be here, I don't know if you know this, but I actually remember my incarnation into this lifetime. And I remember dreading it. I did not want to be here. I was scared. I remember being born with heaviness and horror. And so what happens in my solar plexus chakra when I'm not working on it is I don't have a proper protective mechanism in place. Therefore, when I'm out and about in the world, it's not doing its bodyguard work of guiding me into healthy, life-affirming, life-giving, life-nourishing circumstances, exchanges, interchanges. What happens with people like us who are very deeply feeling and deeply sensitive is that we find ourselves often in situations where we're empathizing with another person's wounds. So we put our own needs, our own wants, what is good for us aside, and our wounds stick with their wounds, and an unhealthy enmeshment takes place. Does it make sense what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and I'm nearly crying here because I feel like you're talking to me.
Yes.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah. And so the deep empathy that you're feeling is true. You really know how other people are feeling. You're truly feeling that. But what's not happening for you or for anybody else listening who has the same issue as you, because you're not alone with this, and it's an issue that I had, but still have at times too, because this is what deeply sensitive people struggle with, is that because our solar plexus chakra isn't active, it can't unenmesh. I know this isn't a proper word, but let's just use it. It can't unenmesh itself. So we get trapped at the level of our wound, sticking with their wound, and we are no longer looking after ourselves. What we need to protect ourselves, our healthy boundaries, fly out the window. Because all we can feel is the pain of the other, what they need, what we must do. But that's not healthy. That doesn't healthily enable another or yourself. And so what we must do, us deeply sensitive people, is really work at strengthening the solar plexus chakra, because when it's strong, we can still feel empathy for another person and compassion without getting dragged down and without making unhealthy choices for ourselves. So childhood developmental trauma, or we could call it womb trauma or birth trauma in your case, what it does is it stops us from seeing clearly how we must act to look after ourselves first and then help another. It's that classic analogy of, you know, every time you fly, well, not that we're flying at the moment due to COVID, but every time you fly, you must put your face mask, oxygen mask on first and then on your child, correct?
Yeah.
Well, what do, us deeply sensitive people? We grab it for the child and we put it on there, and we are starving of oxygen because we're not regulating properly in a solar plexus way.
That's why people like you and I and many others go into helping others and help, and we do what we do, like we're coaches, we're whatever, to help other people. Do you think that's a big reason why we do it?
Yes, I do think it's a big reason why we do it, but I don't think it should be the reason why we do it. Yeah. It's not healthy. Yeah. The biggest burnout I've seen in my life is in these professions, the following: doctors, nurses, mental health workers, psychiatrists, coaches, mentors. That's where the biggest burnout takes place.
Yeah.
Highly sensitive, empathetic people that know how other people feel and are brilliant at their job because of it, but they don't know how to set healthy boundaries because they think that if they say no, that they're being narcissistic. You see, when your solar plexus chakra is working properly, you are not a narcissist because you can feel how another person's feeling, but you put what you need in place first. So you're putting the oxygen mask on you first, and then you're able to clearly assess what the other person needs and you put the oxygen mask on them second. It's really difficult. I mean, I struggle with this still. I've been working on my chakras every day since 2007. And whenever I do my chakra cleanse, I just think, oh my goodness, I'm still working on the solar plexus chakra. I'm still working on the solar plexus chakra. But I really encourage you and anybody listening who struggles with being a deeply empathetic person in this world to really empower yourself in a solar plexus chakra way, because I have watched marriages that are crumbling suddenly work. I've watched people that are about to have a nervous breakdown radically change their lives. Deeply empathetic people who felt like they just couldn't cope anymore and were sliding into depression lift themselves out of it. I mean, really, when you get the solar plexus chakra working, the most incredible changes take place. And they did for me. I was ready to quit medical intuition altogether. I mean, I was taking on everybody's pain. And I just said, I can't do this. This is just awful. And then I started working on my solar plexus chakra and was able to still work, helping people, but no longer taking on their stuff. Really just letting them do them, me do me. But I was still able to assist, and in a way, way, way greater way.
Mm. I know what I'm doing after I finish this podcast. straight on the solar plexus.
That's right. But one note to that. When you work with your chakras, you need to see it as a whole system.
Yeah.
So it's really good that you mentioned this. We don't want to just hone in on one chakra, because the solar plexus needs to work in with the sacral below it and the heart above it. It's a system. So what I always encourage people to do is to understand the chakra system and to work on all of the chakras. That's why I designed the chakra cleanse meditation the way that I did, that we work on all seven chakras. You can absolutely spend more time on the solar plexus chakra, and so you should. But remember, or please know if you don't know, if you have a blockage in your sacral chakra as well as your solar plexus chakra, and you're just trying to work on the solar plexus chakra, you may end up getting frustrated because you think, feeling stuck, it's not quite moving, because maybe underneath the chi's not flowing up because there's a blockage underneath as well. That's why we need the chi flow from the base to the sacral, to the solar plexus, to the heart, to the throat, to the third eye, to the crown. But not only that, there's an energy flow system that comes from the heaven down to the earth. So we also need from the crown, third eye, throat, heart, solar plexus, sacral, and then base. There are two energy flow currents that are natural in the human energy system. That is the earth to heaven, so up, and then also down. You need to do both.
Yeah. It's not funny. It's just more proof that everything's interconnected and it all works as one, because it's the same. We're talking about energy systems here and maybe more the spiritual element of health, but it's the same when it comes to biomechanical health, which is what I'd spent the last, 10 years of my life going into a lot of detail. And I say the same thing to people that I work with on a biomechanical aspect. I just say, there's no point just focusing on the thoracic spine if you're not looking at the foot and ankle or the hips, and it's all interconnected. And as soon as your foot hits the floor, it's sending a chain reaction bottom up, and then you're getting the top down as well. And it's the same with what we're talking about here, bottom up, top down. So yeah, everything's interconnected, and we've got to work at it as one unit as opposed to individual sections.
That's correct. Yes.
Wholeness, not isolation.
Correct. Yes. I like that. Wholeness, not isolation.
Yeah, I've trademarked that, so.
Very good.
Okay. You speak a lot about people finding their purpose and their true self, and I'm massive on this. I like to help and coach people to really figure out what I asked you right at the start, who we are, what we're here to do, and what their purpose is. So how do you go about doing that with someone, and how could a listener that's listening to this and thinking, oh, I really want to find my way, find my purpose, and get some kind of clarity on life, what tips would you give to them?
Well, the very first thing I say is that it's an ongoing process and it's a never-ending process. And I always say that at the get-go, because in the self-help and the spiritual and the self-improvement field, there's such a push nowadays to figure it out straight away, isn't there? You know, like, I've got to know my purpose and I've got to know my soul purpose and I need to get going. And when you asked me at the beginning of today's podcast, who am I? I said, well, I'm still figuring it out. And if we can start there, it all becomes much lighter. It becomes a journey. It becomes joyful. We look at it with a sense of adventure and wonder and curiosity and interest, instead of a heaviness of, oh, maybe I'm too old, or maybe it'll never happen, or I've tried this, I've tried that, I've spent thousands of money on programs, and I'm never going to figure it out. Once we stop grasping and seeking and needing and having to find our soul purpose, because I don't know if you agree with me, but it seems to be the latest fad. I mean, when I was talking about soul purpose 15 years ago, people were like, soul purpose, I don't know if I care so much about that, Belinda. But nowadays, everyone's like, soul purpose, soul purpose. I want to know my soul's purpose. It seems to be the thing. And so I say, we need to start by lightening up. about all of it, because the soul is light and joyful. Not only that, you'll be doing it for the rest of your life, and it's an ongoing process, the same as spiritual development. There's never an end, it's a journey. That's what I say first. If you get your head straight about that, then we can continue. So the next place I take people is, well, obviously, to the chakra system. And we are built and designed in a way that within us is the answer to discovering our soul purpose. And that is in our chakra 8. So far, we've talked about chakras 1 through 7. So the base chakra through to the crown chakra. Above your crown chakra are 5 higher cosmic chakras. So chakra 1 through 7 is to do with your, let's call it planetary journey, your journey here on the planet. But once we get higher than the crown chakra, they're about your cosmic journey. You could call it like this, or I could reframe it and talk about it like this. Chakras 1 through 7 are about your life and your life circumstances, whereby chakras 8 through 12 are about your soul and your soul's journey, your soul purpose. When you get chakrically strong enough, which means pretty relaxed about life, pretty mindful, aware, there's that word again, awareness. When you have a high level of awareness, and your chakras are strong and fit enough, and the energy can flow really well from the base all the way through all of your chakras to the crown chakra, your energy then can ascend into your chakra 8. And in your chakra 8 are 12 soul energies, I call them. Now, I do just want to disclaimer here that this is just how I see the chakric system. Again, I haven't learned this from anybody. This is not something I've studied. I don't have a mentor or a teacher. I haven't learned this in a traditional way. This is just how I perceive energy fields and the energy system. I've always perceived it this way. And this is just what I've seen from working with and reading thousands of people's energy fields. Once the energy can get to chakra 8, inside your chakra 8 are 12 individual soul energies, which together make up your soul purpose. When you start to work with these individual energies, they reveal to you what makes you up. You can also call them archetypes if you like, blueprints if you like. People call them all different things. I happen to call them soul essences or soul energies because I was just looking for a word to call them. I would like to reference a book though, and it's a book called Sacred Contracts by Caroline Mace. I talked about her earlier. She's the American medical intuitive. And she wrote a book and she calls them archetypes. And it's the closest I've come to anyone's work that's similar to mine. And she wrote this book, which is also a course. And she talks about 12 archetypes that she sees that reside in people's chakra 8. And that's what I see too. I just call them soul energies. And in this book, which is also in an online course format, she shows you how you can begin to download or begin to understand what these energies are. So this is literally how you can begin to discover your soul purpose if you're interested in doing it in a intuitive way or in like a medical intuitive way. If that is all a bit too much for you, a bit too heavy, it sounds like a lot of work and you're thinking, oof, I don't know if I'm intuitive, I don't know if I'm psychic, I can really just put it super, super quick and super easy. Whatever lights you up, wherever you feel that feeling of I'm in the right place doing what I love, that is your soul purpose. It's really that simple. You know that feeling of flow and joy and ease, and it's not a strain, it's not a stretch, it's just like
right
I know
now,
it.
Yeah. Like right now with this conversation. Yeah. And it's my wife said to me this morning, she's like, you're doing so many podcasts at the moment. Are you getting bored? Is it annoying you? And I'm like, absolutely not. I love doing it because I'm speaking to amazing people all over the world. And also I know that I mean, that kind of empath side and helping other people as well at the same time. So I can completely vouch for that. When you're in your, whatever you want to call it, own light or your own power, and you're really enjoying what you're doing and it's passion and it doesn't feel like any effort, then as you say, that's your purpose. That's your
correct
goal, talking to you.
Correct. You're in the zone. It's a zone, but it just lights you up and you can feel that it feeds you energetically. Can't you? It's yeah. As if energy's pouring into you in a healthy way. What you've described, I mean, I'm having that experience as well in our conversation, but I have it when I do live events. So when I perform on stage, when I give lectures or speeches or Q&As, there's a certain energy that flows into me. It feeds me. I could do it all day. I would speak until I had no voice left. So that's how you can know that you're pointing towards your true north. If you don't want to do the intuitive sacred contract way, just keep asking yourself, when do I feel that sense of flow, joy? It's not a stretch, it's not a strain, it's not a euphoric feeling. It's not like a, this is probably maybe not the best analogy to use on your podcast, but it's not like I'm on meth. You know, it's not like I'm on acid. It's not like that hyperactive, frenetic energy feeling. It's not that. It's a grounded, joyful, I could just keep doing this feeling. Flow, flow, flow. That soul purpose, it's really that easy. And when you start to tune in and see, where do I get nourished and when am I being depleted, you can really quickly find out what type of person you are. Am I more of an introverted person or more an extroverted person? Or if those terms and concepts confuse you, let's not do that. It can be, do I get a lot out of interviewing people? Well, you just said that you do. Or do you get a lot out of doing one-on-one work with people? Or do you prefer groups? Or do you like reading novels? Do you like singing? Whatever it is, that is your soul purpose. The problem is, though, people make it this really big, grand thing. It's like this big, massive soul purpose thing, and it's going to cure the world of, I don't know, COVID, right? Or I'm going to find the way to stop climate change, or I'm going to feed all the starving children in Africa. Or they think it has to be some global mission to save the planet. That's not what soul purpose is. Soul purpose is where we feel joy, where we feel lit up, and where we bring joy and light and beauty into the world as a natural extension of where we feel it. It's not giving because we must. It's giving because it just feels so goddamn good. We've got to give. That's soul purpose, because that means your energy fields are light, lit up. That's what it looks like to me. If someone is in their soul purpose in that moment, the energy field is sparkling like yours is. I'm looking at your energy field now. And yes, you can't wait to get off the call and go and work on your solar plexus chakra. I can certainly see that. But I do see this real luminous blue surrounding you and this sparkling color, because you're just really absorbing this conversation. You're like, oh, I'm drinking this in. I'm loving it. You're getting so much out of it. But as you're getting that energy and as you're drinking that and getting so much from it, you're also giving back to me in this exchange. So I'm receiving your energy. You're receiving mine in a healthy exchange, because you're just loving it so much that your love is spilling over into me and I'm feeling that. And what I'm loving doing is explaining about the chakras because they've changed my life. So that love is coming out of me and hopefully going into the ears of your listeners or whoever's listening to this podcast as well, but also flowing back to you. So you and I are both feeling this energetic exchange that feels clear and it feels pure and it feels good and it feels lit up. That's what soul purpose is. It's really that simple. And if you just watch yourself, be aware of yourself in your everyday life, and when you feel that nourishment and when you don't, very quickly you can become aware of, oh, okay, so that's when I'm on track or on purpose, and that's when I'm not. It's really that easy.
Why then, Belinda, do so many people ignore it, ignore their passion, ignore what lights them up, and maybe suppress it or push it away, or keep going through the repeated patterns of, I know I shouldn't be doing this, I know this isn't what brings me joy, but I still keep doing it. Why does that happen?
I think fear of scarcity, definitely that. We have been brought up to not believe that the universe has our back. We've been brought up to believe that we must stay in jobs to make money. And I do think we need to be sensible in life. I'm not saying that everyone should quit their job straight away and then just go and follow whatever little whim. I mean, we have to work our way up to having a faith-o-meter in the universe that we can take leaps when we take them. But definitely a belief in scarcity, that there isn't enough to go around, therefore we must stay in jobs, in relationships, in marriages, in friendships that aren't good for us, number one. Number two, I think people think that it is, and I mentioned this before, they think that soul purpose is something really grand. They think that, oh, well, I must be destined, and this is the ego, they think I must be destined to be like the next Picasso, or I must be destined to be the next Desmond Tutu. People go, soul purpose, grand. It can't be something small and humble. Mm. That's very much the spiritual ego there kicking in. It can't be a small thing. Soul purpose can be the love of walking your dog. Now, I do understand that that doesn't feed your family, but that can be part of your soul purpose, because maybe walking your dog, a sudden flash of an insight of a business idea will come that you can then implement. I mean, I don't know about you, but walking is where all my entrepreneurial ideas come for my business. But walking your dog, then an idea comes for your business. But people, they want to be grand with soul purpose nowadays. Everything's grand and big and flashy, even in the spiritual field. They don't want to be humble with it.
Yeah, and then a lot of it, backtracking to what we said earlier, a lot of it is all based on like external stuff rather than bringing ourselves back in and focusing on the internal stuff that's going to feed our soul and nourish us in the best possible way.
Correct. Because there's been, I mean, I've been in the spiritual field now for 22 years. I started when I was 19. I'm 41 and a half. Working as a psychic. I was, you know, I've been around the block. And when I started working as a psychic, people were shocked. People thought, oh my God, what psychic? That's so woo-woo. But nowadays it's not woo-woo. We forget how much things have changed. But nowadays what's happened is people have no patience for soul purpose. They want it now. They want the results now. And they want to be the next, I don't know, spiritual celebrity, whoever that is, or the next superstar in a soul purpose way. So it's kind of become a little bit like that. But also, to answer your question as well, what I've noticed from working with a lot of people over the years is they're truly afraid of what they will discover. If they get quiet and start to tune in, what is behind all of the conditioning? What is behind all of the what mummy thought I should be, or what daddy thought I should be, or what society thought I should be? That's a lot of painful work for a lot of people, because I do believe that we came in knowing who we are as people, as artists, as creators, as spiritual beings, but very quickly, I mean, even in the womb, pressures were on us to become different things. So we're afraid of having to have our hearts broken by how far we've strayed away from what we really want. And we're afraid that we have no idea how to find our way back.
It's Don't you find as well, though, that the more you strip back and the more you strip away the conditioning, I think you labeled it as, that the things that we want and desire are the most simple and basic things.
Absolutely.
And I think that's unfair for people, isn't it? Because they think, oh, I need this and I need X and I need to achieve that. But there's that fear of when I strip everything away, it's really just simple things that I need and want. And I think maybe as bad as this whole year has been from the perspective of COVID and things being shut down and whatnot, I hope it's allowed a lot of people to realize that you don't need all these flashing things and these fancy things. It's love, peace, harmony, connection, tranquility, all of those stuff that are free and nourish the soul.
Yes, agreed. Agreed. That's absolutely true. But in amongst that as well, you will find your own unique vibration. Mm. And to bring this back to chakra 8, we are individualized aspects of divinity. So what that means is when you rise to chakra 8, just to tie it back into soul purpose, because that was your question, at a soul purpose level, we do differentiate in terms of who we are. The silver lining in today's interaction, let's call it, between you and I feel has been so much about who we are. Who are we? And how can we discover that? And what is the journey of that? It's certainly been what my life has been about. I was so confused for the first half of my life about who I was. And I was so afraid of who I was. And I really suffered because of it. Nobody told me I was psychic. Nobody told me that there are other people in the world like me. I was, like I shared before, exorcised because of how psychic I was and the paranormal activity that occurred around me. So half of my life, I have spent completely confused about myself, completely wanting to change myself, and completely trying to shut it all down and just truthfully terrified of who I was. The second part of my life so far, I've spent trying to understand myself, accept myself, love myself, and let myself flourish. So to come back to this beautiful silver lining that's weaving itself through today's podcast is, although we are all one, the way that the gurus and the saints talk about that, that we all share the same inner light. When I look inside a person, we all have a light, but each person's light is slightly different. So we are all one, but at a chakra 8 level, we have an individual, you could call it flavor, essence. So when you do your chakra work, and when you start getting stronger in your solar plexus chakra or your heart chakra or throat or whatever it is that are your weakest chakras or weaker chakras, as you start to strengthen your entire lower chakra system, which is chakras 1 through 7, and your energy naturally rises into your chakra 8, you then get glimpses of how you are an individual. You start to see, oh, wow, I am an artist. Or really, I'm a painter. Or, oh, I'm a therapist. Or, oh goodness, my job is to bring beauty. So what does start to happen is we get flash insights, downloads, I call them, when chakra 8 begins to open, of the little bits and pieces of how we do differ, because it is important that we all do have different soul purposes. So you're completely right in that our soul purpose is to focus on the simple things, love, compassion, joy, that we share collectively. But in amongst that, you and I do differ in how we approach people. We have fundamentally different energies that make up our chakra 8. And people are yearning to understand how they are individual, although we are all one. And that will start to occur when you get quiet and when you go within, when you focus on the simple things in life, you'll start to feel, oh, I light up when I, for example, for me, when I perform. Perform for me is when I'm on stage speaking like this, or I mean, usually I'm speaking to groups of hundreds of people. That's where I feel the most lit up. You said you love getting on calls and speaking to all different people about all different topics. It lights you up. So in that way, we could say you have an adventurer archetype and I have perhaps a performer archetype. Slightly different, but still we're connecting at the moment. Energy is exchanging between us. So I just wanted to point that out because we are individualized aspects of divinity. You can start to, when you work with your energy system, feel how you are unique. And I know that there's that cliche of you're unique and find your unique self. You know how there's that hype around that? Like a massive push to be unique, be your unique, awesome self. And sometimes people just give up on it because it feels like too much work. But in the quietness of your being, that's where your unique self can start to rise up and you can start to see, oh, that's what makes me up. And it doesn't come from what you want to be. It doesn't come from visualizing who you want to be. It doesn't come from attachment. It comes from non-attachment. It comes from letting go of thinking who you are. You see, when you came in, your soul already had its blueprint or already had its soul energies in chakra 8. You didn't choose it when you're here on earth. Your soul already had it. Does it make sense what I'm saying? So it's through the, So it's through the quietness of your mind that then your true essence, so your true soul purpose can start to arise. And often it's not what people expect. Often it's because it's greater and more exquisite and more beautiful and more powerful than you can possibly imagine. Because as human beings, we are limited in what we can imagine for ourselves. But our soul, wow, what it can imagine for us is just beyond. But we have to start with the simple and the quiet and the small. That's where we have to land. So you're 100% correct. But from there, we hand it over to soul. That's why I don't do any form of active manifesting, because I know I, Belinda, am completely limited in what I can envision for myself. So I always say, you know, soul, you do it for me. You do it. You do a way better job than I can because I'm limited. I will be quiet and mindful and work on my chakras. And you, soul, you handle the details. You show me the visions. You show me who I am. I leave it to soul.
Yeah. A couple of things have come to me just then. And one of them was a meditation I had probably a couple of years ago. And one of the big things that came through was don't chase, just be. And that's very relating to what you've just saying. Is just what I found personally is when I'm just being and, like you say, calm and quiet and trusting the universe to process my soul, that the things just happen anyway. And when I'm trying to force it or push it or rush it or chase it, I get the kickback. It doesn't happen. So I agree.
Yeah, correct. Because you're coming from mind or ego versus soul. And the mind and the ego is limited, but the soul isn't. It's far more intelligent and far more wise than we are. So that's why I always say, you know, soul, you just do it for me. Like, go, you go. I'll sit here and be quiet and meditate. You do the work. It's much, much better way to visualize and manifest.
More enjoyable as well.
Yes, and so easy, effortless.
I've got a couple more questions to ask. I know I'm conscious of time, and there's just a couple of things I wanted to touch on. One of them, firstly, is a bit of a backtrack from way back to the start of when I started speaking to you. And it's the fact that when you was telling us your story, you mentioned that as you got older, your powers or your gifts became stronger and more amplified. Is that still happening now? Is that still ongoing, or has it kind of stopped or gone backwards, or where are you at with that now?
That is a fantastically interesting question. Nobody's asked me that, and I do a lot of interviews. So kudos to you for asking me that. That's really a good question. Yeah, I feel like it just keeps getting stronger. I wish there was a pause button, you know, pause. stop. Yeah, it's a lot to handle. Let's put it like that. I don't think that I can stop it. And I have to be very introverted in order to deal with everyday life. So I've learned to be a hermit. That doesn't mean, I mean, look, we're all hermits at the moment in some ways, aren't we? But yeah, to be completely truthful, and I like to be a very truthful person, my powers have certainly not decreased. They have increased. But the way that I'm able to handle modern day life is by living a very quiet life and a very day-to-day hermit-like life. Although before COVID, I did do lots of live events and tour quite a lot. But yes, they continue to amplify. But I have chakric processes now that help me handle that. I didn't have any of that growing up. That's the difference.
And even remotely, you don't have to be close to someone. So just we're the other side of the world here speaking through a computer screen. Is it still full power that way as well?
Well, I shut it off and on. So I have my own code of ethics in that I don't read people unless they've requested to have a reading. And at the end of my career as a medical intuitive, I had a 2.5 year wait list and growing. And so I didn't want that pressure. And I needed to stop working as a medical intuitive anyway and work in a capacity whereby I share the information with more people. So in my day-to-day life, I'm not looking inside everyone all the time. Although, of course, I can see their overall aura, but the privacy aspect, I mean, this is the thing. Everyone has the same problems anyway. Everyone thinks, oh my goodness, like my problems are so bad and they're so personal. It's like, you know what? Your problems are the same as your problems are the same as your problems are the same. We all have the same problems. Everyone thinks that their problems are so much different to everyone else's, and they're not. But I don't go around spending my time reading everyone and peering inside them. It's actually, frankly, quite boring after a while because we all have the same problems.
This question is just purely out of interest. When you see you spoke about spirits, ghosts, angels, or you interact with them, do you ever have any kind of, I don't like the wording, but maybe like negative or dark entities, beings that try and take away your energy, and how do you deal with them? Do you just tell them to do one and go away, or do you not have that?
That's a really important question to ask and a very intelligent one. There are light beings and there are dark beings. There's a spectrum that exists. And when it comes to beings that you don't feel comfortable having around you, the most powerful thing to do, and you're going to love this, Ellie, is protection via the
solar plexus
chakra. Correct. That's what I always teach people, because that really just pulls you into your power. It throws a real protective energy around your energy field, and any being that you're unsure of, or you're not quite sure what they want, they literally can't get into your energy field and do anything to you or in any way negatively impact you. So I'm so glad you asked that question, because again, it comes back to the solar plexus chakra, a really important chakra. Yes, of course, where there's light, there's dark. Where there's dark, there's light. A lot of people are frightened to open up and become more intuitive because they say, oh my goodness, am I going to see ghosts? Am I going to see lower level type spirits? Of course you are, because that exists just as much as the light realms, the darker realms. But you don't need to be afraid of it if you're strong in your own power, in your own energy field, because if that's radiant and light filled, darkness bounces off. It literally can't get in. That's how you protect yourself. Not by, you know, having to do all these elaborate cord cuttings and, I don't know, praying to Archangel Michael and crystals. And I mean, I just find that all fluff personally.
Yeah.
I'm not being disrespectful of anyone's spiritual practice, but the quickest way I know is just get in your energy, solar plexus, illuminate. It casts this really powerful shield of light all around you, and nothing negative can enter. And that's what you do.
Perfect. Love it. Yeah, a lot of my, what I'd call my gifts and powers are more auditory. So I get a lot of my stuff from hearing. I didn't really see anything. Well, not yet anyway. But I've had that where I've had, quote unquote, again, maybe negative or dark entities coming in. And I think, as you said, standing in your own power and then illuminating light is one of the best ways to deal with those beings or entities or whatever they are.
Yes, it is the only true powerful way to deal with it. Mm. And just a note on that, being psychic or clairvoyant is unusual. Mm. Most people are actually clairsentient. They feel.
Okay.
So in training people in intuitive stuff, I found that most people get the strongest intuitive information via feeling or emotions. Some people then have feeling and emotion. So you have feeling and emotion because you've mentioned that, but you're also saying that you get auditory information. Definitely. Yeah. Well, I get everything. So lucky me, right? Yeah. So I get like visuals and I get taste and I get touch and I get smells and I use all of my senses. And that's probably why I was so good at medical intuition, because I relied on all of my senses to pick up everything. And I mostly worked remotely. So very quickly into my career, I decided to switch over to working on the telephone. Back then, we didn't have Zoom or Skype or any of these things, because after I'd give people a reading, they were so stunned by the amount of accurate information I had about them, they just wouldn't leave my apartment. I couldn't get them out of my house. So in about 2004, I switched over to only telephone readings, and I worked with people all over the world. It doesn't matter where a person is. Energy's energy. Mm. Energy's energy. It's right in front of me. Your energy's right in front of me. I'm not in Australia and you're in the UK. We're not on the other side of the world. You're right here in front of me. There's no distance when it comes to energy. And so, I forget what I was talking about now. What was I saying just before that? I was going to segue into... What was the question?
I said about auditory powers and...
Oh, yes, yes. And so what I discovered by working with people, because I trained doctors in how to become more intuitive, to tap into what their patients needed. And I found that the most accurate sense, the one they could rely on the most, was definitely feeling. So clairsentience, they call it. And then sometimes some people would get auditory, sometimes people would get taste, sometimes people would get visual. However, a lot of people seem quite obsessed with getting visions. Mm. They seem to think that being clairvoyant means that you're a true intuitive or you're really psychic. Well, no, it doesn't. And actually, I think that most people, when they get visions, are off track. It's often the ego giving information. So if you were to say to me, Belinda, how can people really learn to trust their intuition? I would say, well, start with meditation and calm yourself down and your central nervous system down. And when that happens, then try to trust your deeper feelings. Try to really tune into clairsentience. I don't trust clairvoyance in most people, because it's often egoic projections. And because nowadays we are so visually bombarded via Netflix, iPhones, this area of the brain, or the, can't remember exactly what cortex area it's called now, is so overstimulated compared to even 10 years ago or 20 years ago. It's not a reliable source for many people. It's actually a good thing that you don't have visions. I think it's a good thing.
Cool. I'll keep listening and feeling.
That's right. Keep feeling and listening. Correct.
Okay. Pretty deep question, but we'll give it a go. So if you had to give the listeners maybe one piece of advice that they could implement straight away as soon as they finish this podcast, what would that be?
Well, of course, I would say to them, I want them to change their chakras so that they can change their life. I mean, I must say that, mustn't I?
Yeah.
After everything we've talked about today.
That was easy.
Yes, it was easy.
Cool. And where can the listeners go to find out more about you, Belinda? If they want to get your books, get more information, maybe even get in contact with you, where can they go to find out more?
You can find me at belindadavidson.com. That's my website. And my book is called Find Your Light. And the URL for that is findyourlightbook.com.
Perfect. Great. We always end my show in the same way, and that's with a favorite quote. So can you give us a quote to finish?
Oh, goodness. A favorite quote. You have put me on the spot. I have to think about that. Oh, goodness. I've got so many favorite quotes. You know, okay, yes. Shoot for the moon. Even if you miss, you will land amongst the stars.
Love
by
it.
Liz Brown.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Belinda, for your time. I've loved that. That was amazing. Amazing podcast.
You're welcome. I enjoyed it very much too. Our energy fields liked each other, didn't they?
Definitely. Well, let's hope for some rain, and I wish you all the success.
Thank you. You too. I don't wish you rain. I wish you sunshine because you're in the UK. But success is what I wish you.
It looks like it's coming out, so we might be all right today.
Good for you.
Okay, take care. Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
That's a wrap on another episode of the Kinetic Fitness Show. Don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and share this podcast episode with your friends, family, and colleagues. Until next time, peace and love.